It's on now. Light. Don't want to make Frenchy. Yeah. We're not going there, okay? We're not going there. So the question is, are there, when Christ gave these gifts to the church, are these the three purposes of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers? Is it like this? And the answer is no. But I think many people would read it that way. Otherwise, pastors have three jobs: perfecting the saints, work of the ministry, edifying the body of Christ. But actually, what it's like is this, which I don't have time to prove this morning. The main job of a pastor is the perfecting or maturing of the saints. And guess who's supposed to be doing the ministry? The saints. And guess how ultimately, now in Greek it's much clearer than this, but we don't have time to go there today. And then ultimately for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. So my primary job is not to do the ministry. That's actually, but the problem is, you say that, but that's not what you mean. Because when I even put this word on the board, and I'm going to have you stand for a minute, because it'd be all right. Will we ever get out of our vocabulary things like this? I went to church yesterday. There's the church. Is it impossible to pull that out of our vocabulary? What would be your answer? Yes, it is. It's just, the church is a building. I went to church, meaning a location. But in reality, the New Testament never uses the word church that way. It uses the word church for people. Now, those people are in a locale. You know, I'm not trying to say anything weird, folks. But the problem is, when you say, I went to church, what you have said is, I have done my duty. Answer the question, yes or no? Yes, you think so. I went to church. I checked the box. The problem is, what are the purposes of the church? Well, I know that my goal, Tim's goal, Brian's goal, Noel's goal primarily is for the maturing of the saints. So that you get involved in the work of the ministry, which is ultimately leads to the edifying of the body of Christ. But here's the problem. If somebody in this church has a problem, whose fault is it? Look up here. Secondarily, his. You see, we got a problem, and I'll never get over this because it's part of American culture. I went to church. All right, let's pray, and then we'll get started. Father, thank you for this day. May this be a profitable morning. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As I have in your notes, there are two big questions, and I don't have all the answers to all of this. The first question is, what is the church? And by the way, in your notes, I'm primarily talking not about, the first point is not this, we're looking more at this. And the church must always be thought of universally and also locally. Obviously, a local church is a local manifestation of the body of Christ, and then there's God's people wherever they are around the world and throughout time. But so the local church are universal too. Acts 15 says, by the way, the answer is the local church and the universal church are people. It's people. It's not buildings. Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them. God calls people out of the world. Why? A people for his name. What a beautiful phrase. So what God is doing in this age, since the beginning of the church on the day of Pentecost, when he gifted the church with the gifts so we could actually carry this out, is he's taking out of the Gentiles a people for his name. 1 John 5:19, John says, we know that we are of God. And the whole world, everyone that's not in Christ, lies in wickedness, or the wicked one. Either one would be fine. It either means the wicked one or it means wickedness, and it's the same phrase. So then we asked, what is the purpose of, and we're going to look specifically, of course, of a local church. May I say this? I believe firmly in the universal church. Walter, you and I should have a conversation sometime about what you said about the Lord's Supper. Because a Baptist is going to look at a Lord's Supper slightly different than you did. And I'll tell you why after church, after Sunday school, if you pay me money. But, folks, yes, the moment you're saved, you're part of the body of Christ. That doesn't mean you're part of a local church. You ought to be. You really are going to be sooner or later, because I don't think God has any independent people. So what are the purposes? So let me ask a question. How many of you have ever been to Pizza Hut? What is the primary purpose of going to Pizza Hut? Eating pizza. Are you sure? Now, there's a Pizza Hut right down this road. It's not a very nice one. It's kind of a yuckily. I haven't been there in years. Last time Tim and I went there, I thought the cockroaches might overcome us. And I don't mind cockroaches, but I prefer them not to overcome Tim and I. We haven't been there in years, have we? Long time. They've remodeled, so the cockroaches have better places to hide now. Okay. There's also a Pizza Hut in Zion. Is that correct? What's the difference in the two? There's no fellowship at the one. Well, I think between those two Pizza Huts, you're going to start learning something. I think we can use them as an example. Now, I will not try to break you of this habit. I went to church yesterday. I won't try to break you of that because it won't work. You'll still say it. You know why? I still say it. The problem is we start confusing what we're supposed to be doing, what our objectives are, with showing up. Some of us think, hey, I showed up. Excuse me, I got it backwards, Tim. Tim knows my famous statement. Any church of any size starts having a group of people who are always, what's the first, at church. But you quickly realize they're not really in church, meaning they're not gathered with God's people. How do I know the difference? Because if I go talk to a person that sticks around this church over time, doesn't make any difference who it is, there's something weird happens. You start quoting me back to me. Because you listen to what's being said. You're interacting with Scripture. I won't brag on one person in this room, but this person quoted me back to me 3 or 4 times. If she's a lady, I think she probably should preach because I think she'd do a better job than me. She's nicer than me, but it's not Amy, I can tell you that. But she's close to Amy, a little farther on the right. Quite a bit farther on the right. By the way, look at me. I can tell if you're a person that checks off the boxes. Because you couldn't quote me if your life depended on it. But look at me. You're always at church. But ain't nothing happening. Well, the problem is if you're always at church and you're not getting this piece done, perfecting, guess what I find? You have a real struggle ever getting involved in the work of the ministry, which means in some areas the church is going to lack because the church doesn't grow just because I show up. It's what we do as a body. So we're going to look at the church in its two primary functions. But I want you to think, I think a good illustration is, or at least to a point, is Pizza Hut down here, Pizza Hut up there. If you go up there, you can get pizza. But there's no place to eat inside. You get it and take it home. So I'm going to ask you a question. Just when we leave here tomorrow, see, here's our problem. When you say, I was at church yesterday, Pastor, I showed up for all 3 services. Check, check, check. What does that mean? Were you fulfilling the objectives of a local church? And what happens on Monday when you're not at church? Do you cease becoming the church? Answer the question. Well, according to some people, pretty much yes. You know, and then I just do my own thing. So what we're going to look at is the church when we gather together, but we're no less the church than when we scatter apart. We still have purposes. I hope we know this. So this morning, you can take perfect notes. You can check off your check marks. You can go home saying, man, I feel so good about myself. I've done my checklist. Then when I asked you about little things like, I even said it last Sunday night? I talked about this concept of, my mind is not working well. What do you do for a child? A child needs what? Compensation. You know, I spoke on that a couple different times. Are you giving your children compensation so they're able to deal with being a teenager? You're looking at me like, that's what I mean. By the way, when I learned that principle, I not only applied it to my home, I apply it to other people's homes. That's how you know you've gotten something. Let's look at the text. We start with the gathered church. When we come together, it's not the only purpose, but it is a purpose. And a big purpose is ministering to the body. So when we gather together, whether it's on Sunday, whether it's on Wednesday, whether it's some other period of time, our primary thing is what we do for one another. One of those ideas in your notes would be, and I don't care which term you use, I'm going to erase this. I think we probably should start with the old biblical word, edification. I think that's a fair word to begin with. And what does that mean? Frenchie, what does edification mean?
Honoring the Lord?
No. What's the word edification mean? It means building something up. Yes, it can be used outside too. But it means one of our primary purposes is to build up one another. Yes. And edification, we could also say, if we wanted to, education, because there is an educational factor. But I don't like just education because that's just knowledge in my brain. Whereas edification is taking that knowledge into my life and also sharing it with others. And let me just say this, folks, the more you learn about God and how you live and what you do, then you're able to help other people. Listen, you get around Tim Durham, he knows a few things about building things. What do you think? But by the way, it's not some head knowledge. He didn't watch a YouTube video and say, I know everything. He picks up instruments and they just like they work for him. I pick up the same things and they don't work for me. But amazingly, he can share his knowledge with other people. Got it? See, our problem is too much. Check, check, check. Now, if you're 70 years old in here, I'm not going to help you this morning. Because you're so set in your ways, no matter what I say, you're going to do. But I'm looking at the younger Christians and maybe some that aren't Christians because I'm interested in what you're doing. And you say, that makes me angry, you even saying that. I gave up on older folks a long time ago. There's no need to bounce my head against walls for people who have already set in their ways and think, here's my Christian life. And they can pull out the sheets and show you. But when you ask them, when's the last time you pulled somebody apart and encouraged them, built them up, they're looking at you like, what do you mean? There's our problem. In your notes, we've already read the one passage. On the very first day of the church, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I mean, the whole church gathered, teaching, encouraging, of course, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. So that is the edification, which is ultimately going to help transform people. We've already read Ephesians 4:11, verse 28. Take heed unto yourselves, that's talking to the elders, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. 1 Timothy 5:1-4 talks about the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God. That's my primary function, to build you up, but we do it with one another also. Number two, the second concept I think that's very important is just an old word. I'm going to talk about this morning. How about that word? Do you like that word? Part of the reasons we gather together is to encourage one another. Why do we need this? Do any of you ever have problems? And what happens when you isolate yourself when you have problems? Really bad things. So we gather together to build each other up in the faith, share, you know, obviously pastors teach, preach, etc., but people do it to one another, and we learn how to encourage one another. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it talks about fellowship. And fellowship, what's fellowship mean? Just tell me what you, look at me, we're having a fellowship tonight, which means? It's another one of those words, I'm not fighting, listen to me, I'm not fighting it. Why am I not fighting it? Because we're still going to talk. If we have a fellowship, that means we have to eat. By the way, some folks in this room will have fellowship after church tonight. And you can go there to Culver's. And you say, I don't like Culver's. You don't have to eat. But see, if you think your job is check, 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 I've already been to church. No, 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 no. Church is not a place you come. It's something that you do. So are you doing it? Answer the question. Doesn't have to be Sunday night. It can be. But folks, anything you do, and we're around God's people, ought to be encouraging, edifying, building people up, trying to encourage people. That's what fellowship means. That's a big piece of it. Everybody knows these verses. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another how often? No, 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 once a week, because that's when you show up at church. You show up at church, and in fellowship time, here, look at me, fellowship time, God bless you. God bless you. Check, check, check. Let's go home. Wouldn't it be wonderful, the people in this room who have been saved supposedly 30, 40, 50 years would really get with it? And I'm not talking about criticizing, gossip. We don't need any of that. But you just pick out a person or two and you say, I'm going to keep up with that person. I'm going to call them. I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to do all I can. Do you realize the impact we could have? But if you think showing up at church is the end of your duty. Now, where do Christians get this idea? Because I believe most churches are built this way. Most churches are built on showing up and sitting down. And we're good at those two things. Showing up, sitting down, and checking off our check mark. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I consider this one of the most important verses in all of Scripture. Folks, you let a person get out of church for 3 or 4 weeks, things look differently. You let a person get out of church for 3 years, they look really differently. And here's the point. Pastor Warren can't follow up on everybody. This is the church's job. It doesn't say pastors exhort one. No, it says this is one another kind of passage. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That encouragement, that exhortation, that ability to encourage another person. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So for me, these are two real fundamental things. So here we are. Here's church. I was at church last week. I've been at church every week for the last 29 years. But see, that's not a check mark. You don't, I'm not trying to be mean, you don't get brownie points for showing up. I think some of us think that's church. No, church is what we're doing with one another together. It happened to me. I've told the story. In St. Louis, Klaus Gernoth came over to our house often on Wednesday nights. One Wednesday night, we went to Pizza Hut. He wanted to get pizza, and this was in my younger days, and I could eat a whole pizza by myself. Today, I couldn't eat the whole pizza, and if I did, I'd be messed up for a month. We would go get two large meat lovers pizzas, two guys. And we would drink soda and eat pizza and have a great time. Well, we went one night and we said, I want whatever, they call it pan pizza, the thick pizza. We want two large pan meat lover pizzas. And the woman looked at me and she said, I'm sorry, we don't have any large dough of pan pizza. I said, okay, well, how about medium? We'll do 3 or 4 mediums. She said, Bottom line is, we went to a Pizza Hut. Now look at me in the eyes. I want you to hear your conversation with me. I went there. Hey, I was at Pizza Hut. Problem is, Pizza Hut wasn't doing what Pizza Hut was supposed to do, and they didn't have any pizza, so we got up and left and went some other place. May I say this? I know some of you think everything's good because checking off boxes, and some of this, frankly, is shame, and we want people to think we're doing okay. I would much rather you actually get involved in serving pizza than showing up. Now, if you wanted me to really get crude, I could even tell you, I probably have talked to 100 pastors, and I say, pastors have different conversations than you might think. Who are the problem people in your church? Number one place where, by the way, this is not a personal attack, this is a fact. The number one place people hide out in church, meaning they show up but they're never engaged, nursery, sound booth. Church after church after church. I've talked to hundreds of pastors. You know why? Because you're always there. So let me ask you, are you there doing what this text says, exhorting one another? This is what we do together. We can do this separately too on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Number three, obviously this is something that can only be done by a local church, the ordinances. I'm not going to spend any time on the ordinances. This would include things like, you know, baptism, Lord's Supper, you know, those sorts of things, praying together. It would also include things like probably giving, you know, the basic things we do as a body. Four is worship. Worship. We'll skip to the next page because the first part's the easiest. Now, before we go any further, let me ask you a question. Has it slipped into your mind so far that showing up is not the answer to your Christian life? So let me ask you, then when will it happen that you get to the place where you start saying, I have a responsibility to encourage, build up, those first two, encouragement and building up. Folks, we gather together, people need things. I can remember, I'm getting old. He's getting old too. 48? Do you realize I was only 39 when I came here? You're now much older than me. In my life, I have learned that most Christians waste a lot of life. They waste a lot of life not realizing they can invest in people's lives. For me, I invest in people's lives not only here, but frankly, I invest in people's lives that aren't here. I call certain pastors up that I know are struggling. I spent 4 or 5 hours with, you know, he's not struggling. I spent 4 or 5 hours with Rick Melvin this week. Why? Well, I'm trying to encourage him because they're looking, they need to do some things, and I wanted to be there just to look with him, and we went and looked at a building, we looked at some property. I told him, I said, you just need to talk to your rich relatives, and they need to buy that property. They do. By the way, I don't think this stops when somebody leaves. They're still part of your family. Talk to Tony Cardenas. Anybody talk to Tony recently? Except me? Tony went through some pretty major neck surgery recently. It's a nice thing to actually have a conversation. Well, the second way the church works is what I call the scattered church. Now, if we have problems with the first point, the gathered church, we have 100 more problems with the scattered church. Because most people's whole idea is church is a place you go. So when you go home, you just back to, whose life are you back to? My life. You still don't realize you're still the church. Yeah, we're not located in one location, meaning in a gathered building, but we're still the church. So as the church is scattered abroad on Monday, most of the time actually, we are ministering to the world. It's no longer primarily ministering to the body. That doesn't mean you can't meet somebody during the week and encourage them. That's not the point, but you have a different purpose. Acts chapter 8, verse 4 is a classic verse. Therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere, preaching the word. And these were not even the pastors or the apostles. These were normal people. They went every place. Wherever God scattered them, that's where they went and they preached or evangelized, shared the gospel. As I say, the church is not always together. And I don't know if that's really properly punctuated, but are we no longer the church when we are not together? And the answer is no, we're still the church. We still have some things to do. Pastor Kwok, would you read John 13 for me in that text, please?
A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
So, number one of the main purposes when we're scattered in the community is simply being, and I just have the word example. Francis Schaeffer uses the phrase, it's in your notes, it's one of those phrases that first time I read it, it gripped me so much because he calls the church, when we're scattered abroad, the church before the watching world. If you go talk to a person that grows up in a community where there's a Baptist church and they don't go to church, they're an unsaved guy, and you walk up and knock on the door and say, hey, I'd like to talk to you about getting saved or would you like to visit our church? First thing they'll say is, well, I know people that go to that church. I think some of us forget that people watch us. Now, I don't know why it is. Do you have this experience? Wherever I go, no matter how I'm dressed, I have people ask me, are you a pastor? Do I have a sign? I was at Five Guys. When was it? When I was at Five Guys before it's turned back on now. Recently, I was at a store. No joke, I was just at a store. And somebody says, are you a pastor? But see, here's our problem is some people know who comes here and gathers here. And being an example, you go out there in your public life and you gossip about what goes on here. And by the way, there's no need for me to deal with gossip because people who gossip don't think they gossip. There's a whole little circle of Christians that used to revolve around here. Some of you know exactly who I'm talking about. Old women, 70s, 80s, and 90s probably. And all they do is gossip. And they don't think anybody knows. They think everybody's oblivious to their gossip. I'm like, really? That's a good way to reach people. Gossip is your best tool for reaching unsaved. I would be curious if any of those people have ever really witnessed to an adult person who got saved. I think the answer is 100% no. So, folks, you're an example. You're to be showing the love of God, that you love one another. By this shall all men, meaning the outside, know that you're my disciples. Matthew 5:13 talks about you are the salt of the earth. Verse 14 says you are the light of the world. Obviously, another purpose that we have is evangelism. And I think these two go together. I don't think you can separate them. I don't think you can separate being an example from evangelizing. Do you think you can? I mean, I think, folks, who you are is going to show up when you start talking to people about Christ. I don't think there's any way around it. I might next week just deal with this subject of evangelism. In this church, we have some people that are very evangelistic, and we have some people that have not talked to people in the 20 years I've been here. And you say, what's the difference? I've learned some of us just don't have friends. Some of us don't really know anybody. Some of us don't like people. You say, how do you know that? By how we behave, not by what we say. Folks, you just have to, you know, really evangelism comes down to who you are and just talking. I mean, we know these texts are in the Bible. Why don't we look at another text? Why don't we look at, we'll probably come back to this next week. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. I think we'll stop with the notes today, and we're going to spend the next 12 minutes discussing something that if we don't get this church to this place, the church never moves like I want it to go. 1 Timothy 3. Everybody find it? Pastor Koch. No, I don't want Pastor Koch to read it. Who do I want to read it? Ron Alexander, start in verse 1. Just read verse 1 and then read verse 2, and then we're going to ask a question. Let's see. We all know these are the requirements for this individual, correct? Overseer, elder, pastor, same individual. King James says bishop. Now, in verse 2, it says a bishop then, what's that word? So now I'm going to ask you a philosophical question. We'll come back to this other stuff next week. Here's a real simple question. Are there different requirements for a pastor than for a Christian? The only one that I know of is a pastor has to be able to teach. So really, when you look at these texts, pretty much these are the same requirements that God has for all Christians. One of the requirements, so Ron, read that verse again. Yes, sir? Everybody know that phrase? Our problem is we have so twisted that phrase that we just don't know what that phrase means. Now, I'm going to ask a question. Let's go to Titus chapter 1 first. That'd be good. Titus 1 first. And Ron, I'll have you read it again, starting in verse 5 and going down to verse 8, please. Okay, thank you. You'll find in both Titus and in 1 Timothy this concept of hospitality. Is that correct? So, I'm going to ask a question. You may raise your hand. What does it mean to be hospitable? And then I'm going to ask a second question. Is that a requirement that's just for the pastors, or is that a requirement for everybody? Well, let's look at Romans 12:13. By the way, Romans 12:13 is going to give you the picture. Everybody find it? Romans 12:13? Go ahead, Ron. Well, here you have the double-barrel shotgun. Next week, we're going to pick up on witnessing, that sort of thing, from this text and others. But look at me. Our biggest problem in Lake County Baptist is something that we don't recognize. The word hospitality normally means, Coley, what's it normally mean? Tell me what you think it means. Not picking on you, but how do we use it in our culture? Yes, and you're a nice person and you host people in your house. Yeah, Dave? And all those are good, correct? There's nothing wrong with any of that. So inviting folks, making people comfortable. Okay, warm. When we use that term, warm. So Dave's left out of that one because he's like me. No, you know, no emotions. What else? Interested in them. Yeah, I think that's good. Yes, and as Nancy says, there's got to be this. I would like you to look at Romans 12:13 again. Distributing to the what? And what else? Yeah, but see, our problem is we're not getting this little word that's part of that verb. And you say, I don't know what that word is. Well, I don't expect you to read Greek. I don't expect you to have ever even hardly seen that letter before. But I want to give you an English word. For you that are well-read, you might know this word. Who knows what that word means? Fear of Xenos, the stranger. So everybody look at me. What Coley and Dave said is 100% accurate. It only has one deficiency. Hospitality is not having your friends over. Actually, that won't take you any place because who isn't friendly to their friends? By definition, you're friendly to your friends or you don't have that friend. Yes? And by the way, this Greek word means stranger or foreigner. But let's put a better spin on it for a modern culture. If you really want to learn to witness to people, there's several things you've got to do, and I'm going to be mean. First thing is you have got to shut up. You have got to quit talking about yourself. Shut up. And if you don't know if you talk about yourself, ask your spouse. Secondly, Dave, I think it was you, or who said the interested? Tim, I'll go with Tim. If it was her, or I wasn't going to acknowledge you. And you have to be, look at me. Folks, have you looked around this church? Sunday morning when Dr. Marriott was here, he noticed right away, says, you don't even 50% are white people. Now, I'm not saying I am the cause of this, but one of the causes of this is the guy you're looking at. I am interested in people who don't look like me. But when I hear things like this, I don't like that kind of food. You think about somebody coming to your house, and you make them your best dish, and they say, I don't like that. We are white Americans tend to be very xenophobic. They don't like anybody invading their little space. And here's the problem. This isn't a suggestion for Tim Kowak to become open. Let me give you two words over here. Let's use this word, open to two words, the other or the outsider. Friend, I tell you what, this church would just revolutionize more than we have now if we could get to the place where we just get out of our box and we quit playing this game of, I mean, some folks are such in ruts that, and they don't realize they're in this rut, because when we talk about hospitality, the one thing you guys have missed is everybody feels good about themselves. Well, I'm hospitable. Really? Now, is it having some? You don't have to have somebody in your house. You can take them out to eat. But the idea of being open to the other. Now, Franco, Pastor Franco, Jenny and I were with he and his wife 27 years ago. Franco is 57 now. He was 30 years old. He was looking for a place to go to church. He and his wife went to a handful of churches, including a Baptist church. Franco is rather black and or Haitian, walks into a church, says, nobody talked to us. Pastor didn't talk to us. Because they're different. Then they go to a church. This has got to be the funniest story ever. They go to, what is it? What's the name of that little town? Des Plaines Bible Church. They just show up on a Sunday morning. They don't know what it says, Des Plaines Bible Church. You're thinking, like us, Bible Church? Des Plaines Bible Church was a Chinese church. They go into the church, and the church does this to them. Guess where they join? And he looked over at his wife. That's where his wife got baptized. And I think you saw the pictures a couple weeks ago. And here we are 27 years later, and they're now giving Franco in his church that million-dollar building. By the way, that's the kind of people they were 27 years ago. That's the kind of people they are now. And I want to say this. It's time that some of us quit the game of this. I was at church. Check, check. That we actually become the church. No, I'll never be satisfied, so you might as well suck it up. If you're a check box checker, you're not going to like me. Because that's not Christianity. We don't go someplace to check off a box. We are the church, whether we gather together to encourage and edify, observe the ordinances and worship, or whether we're out in the world, we're an example, we are to evangelize. But here's where it starts very simply. Look here, and I am done for the day. You start looking every place you work and go for the person who is the outsider. How many of you like to feel like the outsider? Nobody. That's the by the way, as a Christian, you should be the one welcome, even at work. You say you go to work and there's a guy that or a woman that just feels like an outsider. You ought to be the one that brings them in. It's called leadership. It's called growing up. But you can't do that checking the boxes. Is that simple? I like all of these, Dave, in inviting, making people comfortable, warm, interested, but it's not primarily. I already like you guys. Well, I like Dave. I better narrow that down. I like you guys. Nothing wrong with me coming to your house. That's all great. But how about the person that doesn't feel like they're one of us? But here it is, and I'm done. Close your mouth. Can you do that? You said be interested. You know how you show interest? Listening. We'll pick up here next week. Father, thank you for this time. May this be a profitable morning, we ask in Christ's name.